The dungeon rats murdered the entire royal family of Naporia and have been punished to a fate worse than death. For they are forever trapped in the endless dungeon. And it's your job to keep them there and make them suffer through your most wicked creations. Welcome back to the Dungeon Rats, an interactive Dungeons & Dragons adventure. It is thanks to you, brave guardian, that we will keep Naporia's most wanted forever trapped in the endless dungeon. You can submit your monsters, plot twists, magic items, or anything else by going to thedungeonrats.com or by following us on the tweet machine at thedungeonrats. We thank you, Lewis Melton Jr., for submitting yourself and your friends to the Endless Dungeon. Today, we continue your story as you and your closest companions go face to face with the vermin of Naporia. But first, here is what you need to know. The Dungeon Rats are heartless murderers. They have killed, and as a result, are now serving the rest of their days in the Endless Dungeon. Empowered by their new companion, Orlin, the Rats are on a quest to find our new warden, Antolio Licolai, and return his hand to Kanos the Betrayer, in exchange for free passage out of the dungeon. But fear not, for Antolio is aware of their presence and has a few tricks up his sleeve. Meanwhile, the party has found a baby, which they have named Daryl Jr. And at the request of Bellegarde, they are bringing the poor infant along with them as they continue down their murderous path. But Antolio is always one step ahead and triggered the dungeon to transform through a magical storm. And what was once planned now has changed into something that even I do not comprehend. And this is where we are now. So, let's get back to Orlin as she tries to understand her new surroundings.
Orlin has gone to the closest building and just flung open the front door to, like, explore what's inside.
You see above the door a sign that says, "Now playing."
Is there more to it?
No, it's empty after that. But it does say, "Now playing."
I'm holding the door open. I glance back over my shoulder and call to the rest of the party and be like, "Hey, what does that say to you above this door?
Now playing?"
"Now playing.
Now playing.
Now playing. Hold on. Let me perceive this town a little closer."
What are you looking for?
"Anything familiar to Daryl?" Oh, God, I don't understand. It's a 5.
You recognize that there are doors and windows and buildings. They seem a lot bigger than they have ever been before. Mm-hmm.
So Gilf is doing the opposite. He's looking for things that are out of place. 13.
Light seems to emanate from signs in a way you've never noticed before. Almost like the light is coming from behind the sign.
"Guys, take a look at this. Look at this thing over here."
What is that?
"It's a fireless sign."
"There's no fire in that?"
"Not that I can see. There's nothing flickering. There's nothing going on. It's just a stream." Like,
"You guys, look." And I point at a woman walking down the street wearing a fancy outfit, and I start to follow her. And she goes into a...
Starbucks?
No.
Okay.
She goes into somewhere, and I follow her without, like, looking where she is.
So you follow her in. You see a huge store. Just aisles and aisles of things. She walks in. She picks up a basket.
So I pick up a basket too.
You just follow her.
And I just follow her right behind her.
Orlin has gone into the now playing building and just left the door open behind her.
Okay.
So Bugfly is pulling on Lewis and is saying, "Hey, you know this place. Show me around. I don't know where I am."
"Oh, yeah. Well, over there, that's our movie theater.
What?
Movie.
What does that mean?
A movie theater.
Movie.
We
watch crazy adventures of people who aren't or may not be real.
You make people go on adventures for your entertainment?
Yes, absolutely.
So I'm inside of this building now. What do I see?
You see a theater full of people watching what looks like the party you just joined. Walk around with a bunch of halfling scouts.
I walk in far enough to crouch down by the nearest person in the back and politely nudge them and whisper, "You know, friend, what is it that we are observing?"
Oh, hey, wait, do you have a ticket? Can't let you in here unless you got a ticket. Do you
got
a ticket? Did you come late? I don't remember selling you a ticket. I'm Chris.
No problem, Chris. I have just entered. I would love to buy a ticket, but first I would love to know a little bit more about what we're watching.
There's like 7 people. Shh! Shh!
Chris, I really just want to know what we're watching before I make a purchase.
Well, you're watching Dungeon Rats.
Could you tell me a little bit more about this program?
It's a series of movies that we've been watching for, you know, a couple months now. People seem to really like it.
Excellent. I'm very happy for you. What is a movie?
Oh, it's this thing we've got on film. You don't know what a movie is? Here, let me walk you out of here. This is just far too distracting, and as the general manager of this movie theater, I just can't let everyone else get so distracted.
I say, meanwhile, Rhoda's following this woman around, and she has like 12 things in her basket, but she has no idea what any of them are.
It's various potions.
Oh.
Ajax and
cleaning.
Pantene Pro-V.
I look around. What are the other stores there around?
You see the same theater that you saw before. You also see what looks like a cross that has a light behind it. It's like this burning cross.
Oh, not burning on
How
fire,
about we
but
rephrase that. Just yeah. a tad.
It's not right. It's
okay.
Not,
it's not,
not a flaming cross.
No, not, no.
A glowing,
like a glowing cross.
Oh, very good. Okay.
There we go.
You see another sign that says Embassy Suites.
I want to go there.
I'm going to the glowing cross. I'm just like, "You know what? That looks like a building that has answers in it. I'm going to go there."
Wait, hold on. Maybe we shouldn't go. We'll just...
Sure, come with me. I don't care.
Wait, no. I mean, Orland's right
We're
inside the
split.
Theater.
We're already split.
Have I been escorted out now?
Just to the main lobby, where Chris is being very polite to you. And Chris is just saying, "Yeah, you've got to see a movie. If you've never seen a movie before, this is the best place to do it in the entire town."
Gilf puts his face up against the glass and covers his eyes and looks inside.
There's cutouts of the various dungeon rats standing there.
Oh, God. That's me. Gilf, like, opens up the door and, like, steps up to his own cutout, which is a little bit taller than Gilf actually is. He has a little bit more muscle. He's a little bit leaner. It looks, it's like, "This is what I look like."
Oh, please describe all of these cutouts.
Yeah, keep going.
Just picture our art that's on the website.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody is. Beauregard's got a cat on his shoulder.
Do they all look slightly different than the actual people?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to know if Gilf thought that they were like bigger or smaller.
I'm imagining, since it's in a movie theater, it's like everyone's kind of whitewashed a little bit.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, Gilf is played by like Ryan Gosling. Yeah, he's like a tan.
Yeah. Dare Ill is played by Steve Buscemi for sure.
Bugfly is Emma Stone.
That's good because it's so bad.
Rhoda is played by Whoopi Goldberg.
Yes, and Beauregard is what the hell's his name? The guy who plays Triple X with it. What is that guy?
Oh, Vin Diesel.
Oh, for sure, Vin Diesel.
Yep.
Outside, I would totally watch this movie.
So I walk into that cross building.
You see a reception desk. "Hello, may I help you? Is there some sort of emergency?"
Sorry, that might just be the look on my face.
Can I help you? Hi, my name's Clay.
Clay, you're not. Are you not sure what your name is?
No, my name's Clay.
Your name is definitely Clay.
My name is definitely Clay, Hello, and Clay. I am definitely a cleric of sorts.
cleric?
A cleric.
Sorry, I'll go.
Very good. Very good.
As you shake hands, you feel all of your hit points being replaced.
Replaced?
Replaced? With what?
Replenished.
You feel all of your hit points being replenished.
They're all Legos now. You used to have hit points, but now it's just Legos.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, geez. All right.
Suddenly
in the movie theater appears the Lego movie in the Dungeon Rats.
And Gil's like, that's how I've always seen him.
Yeah. Daryl is now played by Will Arnett. It's great.
But you feel all of your hit points being replenished.
Oh, hey. Thanks. There's an energy about you, Clay.
Hey, thank you.
What is this building? What is going on here?
Well, it's a hospital.
A hospital?
Yes.
Oh, wait, we know what those are here, right?
Yeah, it's where you take care of the sick.
Yes, I know what that is. Interesting, though. What is that symbol that you have outside the building?
You know, I'm only like 80% sure where it came from. I know it's like super old, and like nurses used to wear them during war times, and they would like put them on their head so you knew a nurse was coming. Mm-hmm. And now we've put them on the sides of buildings.
So, side question. That sign outside that was glowing, and totally not burning. Was it also red?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, so this is not a church. Great.
It's not a church.
I thought it was a church. So a red cross, if you will.
Yes.
I know that people in my party are injured, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll be like, Clay.
Yes.
Please do not think me being rude, but I am going to leave very hastily right now. And I run outside the building. I'm like, hey, you guys.
Wait, I didn't get to check your insurance.
What?
Cut to Bugfly. What's Bugfly doing?
I'm palling around with Lewis. Like, I'm asking him 1,000 questions, and I'm like holding his hand and kind of like swinging it and asking him, what's your favorite part of your town?
Well, it would have to be this gem statue in the center. Look at that. Look at how pretty it is. Look at how pretty that man is.
It's a statue of Jim.
Of who?
Jim?
Gem statue.
You know, Gem and the Holograms?
Wait.
Did you think?
I thought it was another person.
Did you think a gym statue was a thing before a gem statue was a thing?
I thought it was a statue of like.
No, you're right. It's a statue of, according to Jim.
Wait, are you saying you thought it was a person named Jim? Or like the representation of a gym where you go work out?
Like a person named Jim.
Is he also working out?
The famous gym.
Like a gym. I thought it was like a pal.
Like it's it is a gem statue named Jim,
Jim
Pump
Belushi.
And Iron. Just fucking Pump and Iron.
Hey, Bugfly, do you want to get a closer look at the statue and tell us what it is?
Absolutely. That's where I'm walking toward.
So you walk towards the statue.
Yeah. So I walk towards it and I'm going to roll a perception. 14.
The light seems to be emanating from it in a different manner than all of the other signs in town. It doesn't seem to have a constant glow to it. Instead, it's kind of pulsating from the center.
Oh.
It looks a bit more magical.
So does Louis, I want to keep saying Louise. It's not his name. Louis.
No, his name is Louis.
Louis. Does he just show me the statue? Is he still with me? Because I'm going
to
climb it.
He's next to you. I mean, he's just looking at it.
Great. I'm a hooligan. I'm going to climb that statue.
Whoa. Where are you going? Get down.
No, look. It's going to be so cool.
No, come on.
I'll do a flip.
No, people aren't going to like that.
Why?
You could get in trouble.
By who? I'm free.
Free from the dungeon, but not free from the law.
Okay. That's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm 100% sure.
But watch this. And so I'm just going to start climbing up the leg. How big is this gym? Gym.
Now it's gym. It's large. I would say 30 feet tall.
Does she recognize who the statue is of?
Yeah. Does it look like something I know?
You know, it seems like a distant memory. Like someone who may have been described to you in the past.
Oh. I'm going to try to jump on the statue like piggyback. 19.
Nice.
So you easily climb up to the shoulders of this large statue. You sit on top of it. Lewis is down on the ground going, No, you gotta get down. You're gonna get in trouble.
By who?
You're gonna get in trouble.
So just climb down.
So you climb down.
Yeah, I'm climbing down, but I'm really like, I'm free. This is my first breath of freedom, and he's just ruining my fun by being a rain cloud.
We could have a lot more fun. We could go see a movie. What? We could go to the bar in the Embassy Suites.
What's an Embassy Suites?
It's like a hotel that people stay in and sleep in.
Is there big beds?
Yeah, big beds. I think there's like multiple beds per room. That's kind of their thing.
It's like a slightly less shitty Red Roof Inn.
Yeah, exactly.
Bellegarde,
what are you doing here?
No, that was just a guy named Aram who was passing by on the street at that exact moment.
Is Bellegarde still as in love with the baby as he was before?
Yeah, as far as you know.
Bellegarde has not gotten any room. He's just been like, you know, I guess this is where we're going to live now, little Dariel Jr. And he's looking for a place that you would take a baby, I guess.
Yeah, and I think of what he sees, the Embassy Suites looks like the best place to go.
That does seem logical. I will go to the Embassy Suites.
You walk in the front door and it opens up into a...
But the door opens up on its own?
Yeah, automatically.
Fancy.
And it opens into this small, classy, but not too fancy bar.
Bar? Mm-hmm. I can't take a baby here.
You do see... Well, bear. You do see standing in front of the bar is a podium with a person standing behind it.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
I need a place to change my baby.
Oh, you need to...
Wait, is Bellegarde still not have his cloak on? Is he still...
Are you still naked?
He's still
I'm
just
in my
wearing
underwear.
His
oh,
underwear?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's just like a giant bat naked.
Oh my goodness. Let me get you a robe. And he goes into the back and pulls out a robe and wraps you in it. On the back it says, Embassy Suites.
Nice. This is so soft and plush and so comforting.
Welcome. Well, you said you needed a changing room. We do have parental changing rooms here.
Well, I am a parent, and I need to change this young baby.
Yeah, parents always say shit like that.
Yeah.
People.
I am a parent.
Monsters holding babies. Monsters fucking holding babies say, I am a parent. I will take that.
I will find a changing station for my child. I'm
definitely not eating this baby.
It's clearly apparent that he's a parent.
Well, of course. You know, I'm not too good at determining these things because I'm still in college.
Me too, bro.
Who is this guy? That
hey, my name's
friends...
Garrett. What's his name? My name's Garrett.
Of course it's Garrett.
His name tag says Garrett. Though.
Yeah, his name tag says Garrett. And you know what I love doing? Blowing shit up with my friends.
Oh my god.
13?
Garrett and I are going to be super good friends.
Garrett.
Yes,
correct?
Hi. Yeah.
I don't need to blow anything up. I need a changing room for my child.
Yes, there's one in the back. Come with me.
Thank you, Garrett.
So have you ever had a summer job?
Is that like harvesting? Like I have harvested the fields in the summer, Garrett.
Oh, so you're a farmer. That explains a lot.
Okay, you classist son of a bitch.
Cut to Orlin back in the theater. Orlin is probably stressing out Lewis right now because she's just going around like opening doors and like checking things out in this building.
So she, not Lewis. She would be dealing Chris.
Yes, Chris. Yeah. They all have generic names. I've forgotten them.
Well, they're
generic to me.
Well, they wouldn't be generic names to us. They would be
touche. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so Chris is, I imagine, following me around as I'm doing this because I'm just kind of ignoring him.
Hey, you can't go there. I'm the manager of this theater, and you just can't go into any room you want to, especially if you haven't even bought a ticket yet.
Well, if you're observing me do it, you can tell if I do anything wrong, can you not?
I can,
yeah,
but I'm going to
so
know
it should
you're
be
doing...
All right.
Oh, my God.
Also, Orlin glances down at Redemption occasionally to see if she's upset or freaked out by anything.
She seems uncomfortable.
Has she seemed uncomfortable since we got here?
Yes.
So she's just exploring, like, any door or cabinet she can open to, like, see what's inside. She's just trying to find the, like, whatever is incorrect about this place, or, like, the glitch and whatever.
As she walks around, she sees so many things that seem out of place. There's some sort of projector happening that's portraying these people that she knows against the wall. People seem to be watching it and enjoying it, laughing along to the lives of people that they don't even know or understand.
Cut to Gilf in the seat in the theater, big bowl of what looks like when corn has been in the fire too long, mm-hmm. like a big bucket of it. He's also drinking a brown drink as well.
A brown elixir.
A brown elixir drink. Uh-huh. And there's a small box of Sour Patch Children that he's chewing on.
Yes.
The audience.
Hold on. Popcorn doesn't exist, but you can say the word Sour Patch Children.
It says it on the box.
So does the fucking tub of popcorn.
It does. It says popcorn. Actually. Okay. They all say popcorn.
Okay, well, Gilf ignored that. He knew what popcorn was. Okay. He knows what popcorn is, but he doesn't know what this is. Anyways, he's sitting there. The entire audience is silent, and the screen is playing different parts of his life. And at this moment, when it cuts over to him, all you hear in the theater, it's this, like, a camera on Gilf's face, just, like, his mouth open, like, watching the screen. And all you hear in the background is... Oh, it's all one big misunderstanding. And the audience roars with laughter. And you hear someone say in the background, it's still funny.
Cut to Rhoda in the store, and she's made it to the self-checkout.
Okay.
And she's copying, like, the woman that she had been following around. Is, like, scanning her items, so every time, like, Rhoda, like, looks over her shoulder, and as the woman scans an item, she scans an item.
But she doesn't know how the barcode works?
Yeah, it's so, like, sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes she says, beep!
Yeah, and so she's just putting them all, like,
and
on the...
The machine keeps shouting at you, please do not put anything into the basket that has not been scanned.
Punches
it. Please rescan your basket. Please do not put any...
Yeah. So then it gets done, and then the woman starts putting her credit card into the thing, and I look around and I see, like, the candy that's, like, stacked next to it, and I tear off, like, a piece of the cardboard of the box and I shove it into the chip part of the credit card machine. I look at the person behind me and I'm like, do you have any coupons?
No, I don't have any coupons.
Okay. And then I just look at the machine and I go, no! No, I don't have any. But the woman behind me has picked up her bag and has walked out. So I just pick up my bag and I start to walk out.
Cool.
So I'm walking out of the grocery store holding my bags because that other woman walked out of her at the grocery store. So I'm just following her.
Within your bag is a large tub of powder that says pre-workout.
What else is in my bag?
Another potion of some sort. You think of it as a potion that is in a bottle and it has this red liquid within it. Also, there's this brown bubbly thing that you've never seen before, but it's in this interesting shaped bottle.
I am walking down the street and I, like, dig my hand into my bag and, like, I open up this, like, powder. It kind of, like, blows up and I stick my hand in it and I just, like, eat it. Like, I'm like...
Just handfuls of creatine.
And I start to cough. So I take the brown liquid and I open it and I, like, pour it in my mouth.
So suddenly... You have never felt stronger than you feel right now. You could go lift weights for days. Also, you have this bubbly feeling in your stomach, and it's making it kind of hard to focus and walk down the street.
I'm saying, woof! And I'm like, halfway! Bouncing over sidewalk things, but, like, tough. It's, like, hard. So I feel like I get to, like, a crack in the sidewalk and I, like, jump over it and then I'm like, ooh.
As you jump over the crack, when you land on the other side, it makes a loud thump and new cracks are formed in the sidewalk.
Ooh, Bugfly would know what to do.
So we cut back to Bugfly.
Yep.
I want to go to the Embassy Suites.
Okay.
Yeah, and also that's where Bellegarde went, right?
That is where I am.
Okay, great.
Changing my baby.
Wait, where's Daryl?
I'm in the hospital.
Yeah.
With Clay.
On your way out.
Oh, you're leaving?
I tried to leave and he was like, wait, I didn't get your insurance information. So I turned around and said, what? And then that's when we stopped.
You have like an 8-hour side quest about figuring out your insurance.
Wait, hold on. 8 hours? This is like a multi-day thing as in my experience.
I was being generous.
So you walk into the Embassy Suites. You see your friend Bellegarde hurrying down one of the hallways.
So I run up to him and I'm like, hey, hey, hey.
Oh, hello, Bugfly.
You're not in your underwear anymore.
I was given this plush, comfortable Embassy Suites robe.
I want a plush, comfortable Embassy's robe.
I believe that's possible. Can we get a plush, comfortable Embassy Suites robe for my friend Bugfly?
Garrett looks at you and says, yes, of course. This is just a summer job. I don't care at all.
I like your style. What's your name?
My name's Garrett.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey, you brought in my brother, Lewis.
Yeah. Oh,
hey,
Lewis.
Hey, Garrett. How's it going? It's going great. How's your summer job? I'm really enjoying it.
Actually, we're just going to watch this for a while. Garrett.
So can I say at this moment, because Rhoda starts to feel so bad, that she's like, I've been taken advantage of. And she starts to go back to where she came from.
She starts heading back to Target?
Yeah.
Hey, roll a perception check for me.
10.
As you're walking down the street, you look up and you see in front of that large gem statue, a group of 3 people digging into some sort of person.
Oh, digging into a person?
There's like blood on their hands.
What? Hey, what are you guys doing?
They look over at you. Their blood! It's very valuable!
Whose blood?
Theirs! And they point down.
What do I see?
Do you continue to walk closer?
Yeah.
You walk closer to this group. On the ground, you see golden eyes. A formless figure just laying there. Something that you recognize from the dungeon.
Hey! Stop! Stop! What's up? What are you doing?
What? We're collecting this for our leader.
What leader?
Cut to Orlin in the theater, who has just come back to the main lobby with Chris following. She just turns around and grabs Chris by the front of his shirt. Is like, I bore of this. Who rules your town? Who leads?
Oh, it's one. Antolio Licolai.
This name doesn't mean anything to me.
Cut to me in the hospital. And I'm like, I go up to Clay. And I was like, all right, well, like, who would I give my insurance information to?
Oh, of course. The one and only. Antolio Licolai.
Cut to the Embassy Suites.
All right. Cut to the Embassy Suites. And Bellegarde's like, okay, listen, this is actually excellent. And I believe that we would like to have a room here. So who do I ask for a room?
Oh, you ask Antolio Licolai.
Cut to Gilf in the movie theater just eating popcorn.
the movie he's watching ends, and across the screen goes executive producer Antolio Licolai.
Bugfly, at this moment, you feel a tingle on your wrist.
No.
Your arm gets lifted up in the air. So does Rhoda's.
Oh!
You feel
it's
your
happening.
Feet come off the ground.
No!
And you go flying out the door, right into the center of the town square, right into Rhoda's body.
Bugfly!
Rhoda, hi!
Where are you?
I'm wearing like the most luxurious plush robe from the Embassy Suites.
Why you feel so soft? I just pick you up and cuddle you like a teddy bear.
Oh, that's so nice. What is that?
These people are eating this blood. They say it's really yummy.
It's so valuable. We have to collect it.
I think I'm going to invest.
What was it? Whose blood is that? Are you... What?
Yeah, actually, whose blood is this?
You didn't ask that question before?
Did I ask the question already?
I don't think you did.
Thank God you're here, Bugfly. I don't know what I would do without you. You know, sometimes I just get so caught up in the moment and a future possibilities for myself that I forget that maybe this person was murdered.
Was this person murdered?
Well, it's not a person.
Well,
there's
what
a
is?
Big difference. It's one of the creatures.
What creatures?
One of the creatures. When they wander in here, we were told to take their blood, and then we're going to use it on the infas.
On the what?
The infas.
Your eyes get so big when you say that.
What is that?
It's what we're awaiting the arrival of.
Invas?
The Inva.
Inva.
That's right.
The Inva. Can I be in?
You want to be the Invas?
No, you probably don't. Does that mean she's going to get shoveled or put in a vial? I don't know. I don't trust you. You just killed a thing.
We didn't kill it. Well, okay.
You did.
We just don't value its life.
What?
Like when you step on a bug. You didn't kill that bug. You just got rid of it.
To be, well, you know, I have a different take on this. My take is...
I don't like that.
What? My take is that if you didn't mean to kill it, it's not murder.
I'm just going to walk towards the carcass.
Did you mean to kill it? If you meant to kill it, then it's murder. But if you killed it on accident, then it's just an accident.
We didn't mean to kill it. We meant to harvest it and take its blood.
So after you take the blood of this sad thing, what do you do with it?
I mean, Bookplay, you don't know that it's sad. It might be happy.
I feel like it's probably not.
No, it's dead. It has no emotion.
There you go. It's completely neutral, like Switzerland. What is
What's
that place?
What is that place?
Wait, both of you,
not in a
both
dream.
Of you don't know what Switzerland is?
You know, word on the street is the infos is already here.
This guy's a fucking narc.
Ooh.
You brought it with you.
I brought it with me?
Your friends did.
Who are my friends? You don't know my friends. How do you know my friends? I'm going to grab you and pick you up. How do you know my friends?
We greeted you when you came in. We were so excited to have visitors.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And I'll give you a hug.
Oh, thanks, Rhoda.
Cut to Daryl in the hospital. So how do you do your borders? These pamphlets are amazing. It just looks so... Wait a second. Did you say Antonio Nicolai?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, I did.
Oh, boy. I have to go... And I slowly back out.
We use Photoshop.
What is that?
It's a program that's been around for a long time.
Still slowly backing out. Program, yes, cool.
We use non-destructive edits. It's really important. Don't forget.
Yes, destruction is bad.
Yes, yes.
Very good. Bye-bye. I just run out of the... I start running towards the square.
Cut to Orlin in the theater. Should I know who that is?
Well, he's kind of a big deal around here.
And?
Well, I guess there's no end to that. I mean, he's a big deal. He's important.
Well, good talk.
Good.
And then I just leave the theater.
Oh, this is awkward.
The movie theater starts to let out, and people are rushing past Gilf, going to the lobby. Some people are going to the bathroom, whatever. And Gilf is just like, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen my entire life. That's how the world views me. He's just so excited. And he hasn't really even noticed. See, so he's looking for Orlin right now. But he hasn't even noticed that he's alone, like, at this point. So he has no idea what's going on.
What's Beauregard doing?
I'm asking around in the lobby about local schools and townships and, you know, where the best place would be to raise a family.
You're talking to the concierge?
Yeah, I'm talking to the concierge.
Okay.
Here's the closest school. She's like, call 911 for this pedophile.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
I am looking for, I was wondering about the school districts in the area because I'm looking to raise a young family here. And...
Oh, you have a baby. It's been a long time since we've seen a baby in these parts.
Why has it been so long?
Because we don't age.
You don't age?
Nope.
Why don't you age?
You know, that's a great question. I always assumed it was because of the great leader, Antonio Nicolai.
Almost drops the baby. Antonio Licolai.
Nope. Antonio.
Your goddamn boyfriend. So remember
hard.
It.
So hard.
Remember it.
So hard. Antonio Licolai. Mm-hmm. How long has he been the leader here?
As far as I can remember.
Where is he?
You know, that's a good question. Usually, he appears next to that statue of him in the center of town.
What do you mean he appears?
He appears.
Is that of thin air?
I don't know. I'm working. I'm not watching him before or after he makes his announcement.
I'm picturing Beauregard like bouncing this baby while he's questioning him at the same time.
Yes, and patting him on the back. Yeah, absolutely.
Usually when he addresses us, he's right by that big statue of him that's in the center of town.
And when does that happen?
Periodically.
Okay. Thank you. And I go out into the center of town.
So is everybody but Gilf is now in the center of town?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think Gilf starts following the crowd leaving the theater, so he's kind of being herded outside into a parking lot, and then he makes his way to the street.
As you all start to group in town, you notice that many of the townspeople seem to be gathering as well. As soon as Bellegarde approaches the square, many heads turn to not look at him, but at the baby he's holding, and they start chanting, Invas! Invas! They start walking up to the baby.
Rhoda follows this.
Invas!
That's
nice. Rhoda, don't help
Come
them.
On, Bogfly!
It's been so long Invas. Since we've seen a baby!
I knew this thing was trouble.
Invas! Invas!
Come on, Bogfly!
Rhoda!
Invas! Okay, roll strength for me.
Oh, okay. Oh, damn. That would be a 23.
So, Bellegarde, as they continue to approach you, you're just knocking them over one by one.
It's like Bodyguard,
yeah.
But it's a baby. Yeah.
No. No, we don't want to hurt it. We just want to bless it.
Okay, no.
We want to bless it. We have blood of the creature.
Okay. Double no. Stand back.
Oh, I know that baby. Hey, Bellegarde.
Hello, Rhoda. What the hell is going on?
Oh my god, they killed that creature, and now they're bathing in its blood, and they put the blood in a vial, and now they want to touch your baby with it.
That's pretty accurate.
We don't want to touch your baby. We want to bless your baby.
Oh, that's cute.
They're all like people, right? So if I hold the baby above my head, they can't get
Well, they're various sizes and strength. Right. And as you...
Just like average people.
Just yeah, like you would expect out of people.
Yeah, like elves. You know how like elves are different sizes.
They're not. They're all the same. All elves are the same. All of them.
They are grouping around you. You are in the middle of a giant mob now. They're all just getting tighter and tighter. There's really nowhere to walk. Your party is within the mob, but they're spread out among it.
So I cast Protection from Evil.
What language is Invas?
Invas.
Right, what language is that?
Latin. I mean, common.
So we would know what that word means?
It's probably just infant or
okay,
something.
Okay, roll intelligence.
15.
It means infant.
Cool. I knew it.
Good job.
It's infant in Latin.
I'm running from the hospital. I'm not like fully in the mob yet.
Antonio Licolai, he's like over there taking pictures of stores or something. I don't know. I kind of got convoluted in the like photo, whatever. Antonio Licolai's here. What is happening? What is going on? What is all of the
Invas?
Are they saying infant?
Invas.
Whichever way he pointed, I'm going right now. If he pointed and said Licolai's over there, I'm going that way.
Holding the baby?
Yeah.
I think acrobatics as you try to bounce through this crowd.
Ooh, that's going to be a 3.
As you start to make your move, there's just too many people. You're bumping into them, and you drop Daryl Jr.
Oh, no!
Hi, everyone. Pat here. Instead of an excerpt from the offices of the Court of Crowns, we have something special for you this week. We are often asked about the characters of the Dungeon Rats, most specifically, those who are not part of the standard player's handbook. So, I sat down with Serena to talk about Bugfly's history and dive deep into what makes up a Darrow. Before we get into our talk, heads up that this conversation is also a video that you can find on our YouTube channel. Aram was cool enough to help us get some footage, and this is something that we hope to do with all of the characters in the not-too-distant future. So, if you like getting into the character builds, please let us know. Oh, and one more warning. This audio was not recorded using our normal podcasting equipment, so it sounds a bit different. I hope it's not too distracting. But if it takes you out of it, feel free to skip ahead to the best part of any Dungeon Rats episode. And that's rot, reading the credits. Anyway, thanks again for all of your support. Here is Serena and I going in depth into the character of Bugfly.
Hello, Ratlings. Pat here, the DM of the Dungeon Rats. And sitting with me is Serena Marie.
Hi.
Better known as Bugfly.
Yep, that's me. Hey.
So, a question that we often get is, what's a Darrow? Bugfly's race comes from the Unlikely Heroes module from Cobalt Press. So, it's one of those things that's not part of the standard player's handbook. So, she's a little bit different than most characters that people are used to seeing and playing in Dungeons & Dragons.
When we were deciding on the characters we were going to create, we had the regular dungeon book.
Player's Handbook?
Player's Handbook, yep. And the Unlikely Heroes Handbook. And I was so curious to just read about the other races. And I found the Darrow, and I just thought they were really unique and interesting, and I thought that they would provide a really good role-playing aspect. I could have been a high-powered, like, Dampier or something, but I just chose Darrow because I thought it would be more fun.
Well, the very interesting thing about Darrows are that they're insane.
Yep, they are absolutely insane. The interesting thing, too, is that they're born completely sane, but they are driven insane by their relatives and their family.
Bugfly's a little bit different than the normal Darrow.
She was found before she completed her trials to insanity. Mm-hmm. And she was like around 2 or 3 years old, and she was raised with a human and with all of the love and appreciation that Darrows generally don't get, because Darrow parents are very dismissive, or they just keep their children alive, but they don't have any care for them.
Yeah, the Darrow family unit is very interesting because mm-hmm. everybody's insane. So they're not quite sure whose kid is whose. They don't really seem to care about their children at all.
I know she has like siblings somewhere, and a mom and a dad, of course, but like they probably don't miss her either, because they don't either remember that she exists, or they're just too focused on their own craziness to really worry. Darrows are also really terrible historians because mm-hmm. they're crazy. So there's no real definite like path or trials that they go through. It's just all just word of mouth.
Yeah. Well, let's get into what Darrow look like. They're small. Mm-hmm. They're about 3 to 4 feet tall.
Yeah, she's about 3'4". I thought a lot about it. But yeah, she's tiny. Like I like to imagine a dwarf and an elf, because she's not like stout like a dwarf. She's very like wispy. She's an explosion pixie. She's just a tiny little thing that likes to blow stuff up.
That's true. She's under 40 pounds. So as you said, not very stout, yes. Very small. Small mm-hmm. enough to ride on the back of a hawk. So you gotta be pretty small for that to work.
Yes. I love Hank so much.
So yeah, we already got into this a little bit, but they have a history of madness. Mm-hmm. Their insanity is something that truly drives this character, both in its creation as well as in its skills. Mm-hmm. One thing to note is that they are very dexterous. Mm-hmm. They also have high constitution scores. Mm-hmm. They reach their maturity at the age of 75. Mm-hmm. Bugfly might live to be older, because when Darrow normally get to 75, they've gone so crazy that they forget to eat, they forget to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. But Bugfly is a little bit different.
So it could be that she takes really good care of herself and lives to be like 300 years old. Mm-hmm. I have no idea, which is kind of exciting. She's 20 right now. I've decided.
Yeah, 20's a good age.
20's a good age.
She sounds 20.
Yeah.
She makes decisions like a 20-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She doesn't think she'll ever die.
Yeah.
She's rash and impulsive.
Mm-hmm. Does what she wants to do.
Sounds like 20.
All the time.
Yeah. As far as alignment's concerned, they're unhinged and crazy. So she's always chaotic. Often Darrow are evil. But again, Bugfly doesn't seem to fall into that camp.
Comes back to how she was raised. She was told to give everything a chance because she got a chance. You know, she could have easily been like left to finish her trials and not like taken care of. But because of that, she always wants to give everything the benefit of a doubt. Sometimes it's a terrible idea because it gets her into trouble, but she's generally pretty kind.
She is. Well, yeah. She really cares about her friends.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, Darrow are small, but they're fast for their size. So she still has a movement speed of 30 feet.
She's very like spindly with her like high dexterity and everything. So she's probably really like uncomfortable to watch move because she moves very, very quickly, mm-hmm. like a giant bug.
Much like a bug, she does have superior dark vision. She sees very well within the dungeon. On the contrary to that, she's sensitive to sunlight. So if she's trying to do an attack roll or wisdom or perception check in a sunny area, she has disadvantage.
Yeah, that's because Darrow's, they're born and raised so deep underground that their skin is supposed to be translucent. Their hair is white. Their eyes are gray because they're so used to being underground. I'm sort of made it true with Bugfly because she's adventured to the surface world more, that her skin is more tan and her hair is pink because she like squishes berries and throws it in her hair and braids it and puts rocks in it or whatever she finds. Yeah.
Yeah, so those are two distinct choices you've made with Bugfly mm-hmm. that don't align exactly with this module, and why would you ever want to align exactly with what a module tells you to do? Why did you make those choices?
I wanted to make Bugfly closer to myself, too, in design. I feel like in a lot of like role play and fantasy environments, a lot of people have really pale skin and straight hair, and so because I am not that, I wanted to have my character reflect what makes me interesting, and it's my big wild unruly hair. It's in a ponytail right now, so it's not a mane, but and I did want to give her a little more melanin because I just think it's important to do.
So speaking of that, mm-hmm. how much of yourself do you put into Bugfly? How much does she reflect Sarita?
Bugfly maybe is who I am when I've had a lot of Red Bull.
It makes you mean.
And it makes Justine mean.
Yeah, that's a callback to the podcast.
Yeah. but yeah, I think that I have a natural urge to make sure everybody in the room is taken care of, and I think Bugfly is genuinely concerned about how people are feeling and wants to make sure everybody else is feeling happy and taken care of. Also, I feel like as a human, I'm very distracted also. I have a hard time like with focus. And so it's sort of like leaning into who you already are and just amplifying it through a character.
Well, that's the best part of role play, right?
Right.
That's why I always play really dumb characters, because I'm so smart in real life. Mm-hmm. I like being stupid, uh-huh.
Yeah.
But then playing it really intelligently. I'm not complimenting myself, I swear. All right, so my favorite part of this build are these madness tables.
Yes.
So basically, at the end of the Darrow build, there's these tables that you can roll against to determine specific character traits that will come through in the insanity that is a Darrow. A few of these really ring true for Bugfly to me. The first one is you eat a lot of non-food objects.
Yeah, Bugfly has pica. She just likes to eat rocks or gems, sometimes knives. It's more of a compulsion. I think she does it when she's anxious, so it's not like she's hungry and she decides to eat a rock. She's more like, I don't know what to do! Ha!
And the last one is she laughs at inappropriate moments.
Yes. So I feel like that part is very close to who I am. Like, I laugh inappropriately from a weird, anxious place sometimes. And I just think that it's interesting putting a magnifying glass on the parts of yourself that aren't generally predominant in your everyday, but just to like amplify them in a character. And I think that part is for sure me and Bugfly.
All right, well, thank you so much for watching. Thank you, Aram, for holding the camera, doing everything that you do. Sarina, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Heyo, Rot here, fearless leader of the Dungeon Rats. Wow, Lewis Melton Jr. still hanging out in that dungeon. Are you ready to declare me your forever fearless leader? Because I'm ready to declare you my fearful dependent. Just a reminder, if you leave us a review in your favorite podcatcher like iTunes or Google Play or whatever you use, take a screenshot of it and email it with your mailing address to thedungeonrats@gmail.com. And Carlos is going to send you something cool in the mail. I'm not sure how much stuff we got left, so hurry up and do it soon. Anyway, The Dungeon Rats is produced by Patrick O'Rourke and Carlos Luna. This episode was edited by and original music from Carlos Luna. Our special guest, Orlin, is played by Alex Richmond. Rhoda is Justine Kruger. Bellegarde is Aram Vartian. Daryl is Alex Colliard. Bugfly is Serena Marie. Gilf is Carlos Luna. And the DM is Patrick O'Rourke. Well, I think that's it for me, the master of the metagame. And remember, a true leader always gets the last word.